Welcome to the ABCs of the Bible, a radio ministry dedicated to bringing you the Word of God. God promises that when His Word goes forth, it won't come back void, but will accomplish that which He pleases.
Greetings, friends, and welcome back to part 4 in our 12-part series entitled Biblical Economics. So far, we have seen that God does sometimes bless His children with health and wealth, but not because it's a promise under the new covenant. God does not promise under the new covenant that all Christians are entitled to health and wealth, and that He's going to guarantee that as long as we have faith, as long as we name it and claim it, He's going to bless us with prosperity. That health and wealth, name it and claim it, is a false gospel. Now, God does sometimes bless His children with material manifestations of His goodness. Therefore, we must conclude that prosperity, while it is not promised, neither is it inherently evil, because some Christians do receive it. Therefore, it is not inherently evil, and God is the one that blesses some of His children with physical health and wealth, with prosperity. If God blesses people like He did to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, David, and many others, if He is the one who blesses us with prosperity, then it cannot be inherently evil. We should not walk around saying it's a sin to be rich. That is wrong. On the other hand, by taking a closer look at scriptures that do associate wealth with wickedness, these scriptures reveal a very important fact. And that fact is that we have to have our priorities straight. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 6, and we'll read and basically paraphrase verses 19 through 34. This is Matthew chapter 6 and verses 19 through 34. This says in part, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, but instead lay up treasures in heaven." God is presenting a picture here. On the one side, you can lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. That's material wealth. But He's saying, on the other hand, you should lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. That's spiritual wealth. Then He goes on to say, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." God sees where your heart is in great measure by where your treasure is. If your treasure, if your time, if your interests are spent trying to accumulate material wealth, then that's really where your heart is. That's where your mind is. That's where your priority is. And God comes back and warns us, you cannot serve God and money. So you have to make a choice. What is the choice? God says, "Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' For your heavenly Father knows that you need all physical things to survive. But seek first," and that's the key, "seek first the kingdom of God," not the kingdom of wealth and health. "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then all these things," these physical things that you need to live and yes, even to enjoy life, "then all these things will be added." Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then all these things, these physical things, will be added. This passage is not an outright condemnation of amassing treasures. It is a condemnation of putting treasures before God. That amounts to nothing more than idolatry. So the point is getting our priorities straight. Let's see the same principle in Matthew chapter 19 and verses 16 through 26. This is Matthew chapter 19 and verses 16 through 26. It's all about getting our priorities straight. It tells us in Matthew chapter 19 verses 16 through 26 about a rich man who wanted to know what he needed to do to gain eternal life. Jesus said to him, "Keep the commandments." To which the young man responded, "I have kept the commandments." Then Jesus said, "Okay, you've kept the commandments. If you will go on to perfection, then sell what you have and give to the poor." See, what Jesus was doing was testing his heart. Was his treasure on all of the material prosperity that he had? If it was, then he wouldn't want to sell it and give it to the poor. Now, what was the guy's reaction? But when the man heard what Jesus said, he went away sorrowful. Why? Because he had great possessions and he didn't want to give him up. His heart was with his material possessions. That's what he treasured, his material possessions on earth. Then Jesus turned around to his disciples and said, "Man, oh man, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a little needle." Going through that little eye of a needle, it's easier for a camel to do that than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, let's just hold on for a second. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven? Can a camel go through the eye of a needle? Of course not. So it seems like it's impossible. But God comes back one more time and he says, "But with God, all things are possible." God can perform a miracle. God can change our hearts so that our hearts are treasuring spiritual treasures. We can seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That should be our priority, and that is a transition of mind and heart that is miraculous, that God will perform if we submit ourselves to him in faith. If God is first in a rich person's life, then it is possible for him to inherit eternal life. It is possible because God will make it possible. Again, the point is properly prioritizing. And then one more scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verses 5 through 10. This is in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verses 5 through 10. This is where he warns us. This is Apostle Paul speaking. And he warns us about using any aspect of Christianity as a pretext for getting rich. In other words, we should not be doing anything that has to do with serving God for the purpose of getting rich. And of course, a lot of people do that. They get into the ministry because they know that their congregations are going to pay tithes, and we covered that in the last program. It's more of a religion tax. They know that their congregation, if they beat them over the head with the health and wealth gospel, that these people are going to feel guilty, that they've got to sow their seed into the ministry so that they can reap abundantly this treasure on earth. And so they know they're going to get rich. And Paul is warning against this. He says, "Men of corrupt minds, men who are destitute of the truth, suppose that acting as though they're godly, that this is a means of gain. Desiring to be rich, they fall into temptation and a snare. For the love of money," that's the key, not money itself, "but the love of money is the root of many evils, causing some to stray from the faith in their greediness." Greed is the problem. Now contrast that with verses 17 through 19 in this same chapter. This is verses 17 through 19. "Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty nor trust in riches, but rather in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy." So again, God is not just inherently against people having riches. It's trusting in those riches that's the problem. So we should not trust in riches, but rather trust in the living God who can give to us richly all things to enjoy. "Let them do good works, be ready to give. Let them be willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation, that they may lay hold on eternal life." This is storing up treasures in heaven, that they're sharing generously of what they have for a spiritual purpose, for the benefit of people's spiritual growth, and to meet people's physical needs. They're just generous people. That's the way rich people should be. And if that's the way they are, not trusting in their riches, but giving away all their riches, understanding that God can in turn give them richly to enjoy all things, then that's no problem. Why? Because they have their priority straight. Their priority is seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and understanding that all of the riches that they do enjoy, that that's added to them as a bonus. In all three examples, in Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 19, and 1 Timothy chapter 6, we see God warning people about putting their priority on health and wealth, material possessions. He warns against that. He says, get your priority straight. Put your trust in God. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Then God will give us physical blessings to enable us to be a blessing to others. So it's all about properly prioritizing. Priorities, priorities, priorities. It's all about priorities. When it comes to prosperity, it's all about priorities. Well, thank you for joining me on this program. I hope you'll come back for the next program.
If you would like to contact us or order free literature, please visit our website at www.christianambassadors.org. That's www.christianambassadors.org, or call us on 404-412-0032. That's 404-412-0032. Thanks for listening. May God be in you.